Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, into the 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Coming up at 11:30, our Chiefs Red Half Hour. Andy Reid speaking to the media today for the first time in what seems like forever, just as all these weeks have blended together. But his thoughts on how he and the Chiefs have been handling the coronavirus and the impact it has on the draft and free agency, maybe the latest on Sammy Watkins and his future in Kansas City, Chris Jones as well. So you'll hear from Andy Reid coming up right around 11:30 in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. It would be the home opener if the MLB season was taking place today. And later on today, as you heard from Serta, at 7 o'clock, you'll have the replay of the World Series Game 5 clincher, I should say, against the New York Mets. And also, coming up at 2:50 this afternoon, pregame and the game for the virtual Royals. 4-1 start to the season for the Royals.
Taking
on the Mariners at 3 o'clock. Pregame at 2:50. Jay Binkley and Kramer are going to be part of that. And you can watch that from YouTube, 610 Sports KC on Twitter. And then we'll be tweeting out the link on YouTube to watch that. Nice start to the season. And we had Vern, the Royals insider, of course, on the show yesterday. And he's got his hot stove show still going on tonight at 6 o'clock, as a matter of fact. And we were asking him about, if this shortened season happens, do you still say it's a legit World Series winner? Because we had Mariano Rivera just a week ago made the comment that he didn't think 60 games, I think it was 60 games, was enough to determine a champion. And there's a very realistic possibility. It doesn't necessarily go down to 60, but it's, we know, going to be shortened in some form or fashion. It's not going to be 162. At what point can you not determine, if at all, a legit World Series winner? I think you can absolutely have a legit World Series winner, even if you play 50 or 60 games. I'm not saying that people won't, no matter what happens this year. This might go for, it's going to go for the NBA if we get back to it. It's going to go for hockey. It's going to go for baseball. If there's any impact on college football or the NFL, people are always going to look at the 2020 sports season as, wow, that was the year all this was going on. It was a kind of a weird, fluky year. That's why they won it. Yeah, you're going to still get the ring and all that, but people are going to view it in that light. But you know my opinion on even going back to college basketball without having NCAA tournament was that Kansas should have been champs. So you know that I'm going to have no issue here, okay? I'm going to have no issue if we have a 50-game baseball season and a team that wasn't supposed to be the champs. And there's no, if you win a 50-game season, you are still the World Series champs of 2020. I don't care how many games they play.
I don't know if it's 50.
Why not? 50 games.
They'll still be called the World Series champs, but, I mean, I'm not even saying they'll physically put an asterisk on it, but...
Well, people always view it. I understand. People will view it in a negative way, you know, in that light.
Yeah, I mean, you got to question it a little. Look, for a league that was unwilling to put an asterisk next to a team that was definitively cheating when they won a World Series, they're not going to put it on this just because there's 50 or 60, 80, whatever games. But I do think there's a threshold when people look at what you do differently. Although, probably shouldn't in baseball. 100 games is more than enough to determine an actual winner in baseball, okay? You don't need 162 damn games to figure that out. But 60? Oh, man, baseball is a weird sport, and maybe it's just because I'm used to...
It creates more urgency. You don't have...
Oh, my God, yes.
You can't afford a bad two-week stretch. You know, you can, in 162 games, you have a bad two-week stretch, you can bounce back.
No, but you just find any way to go, like, 10-3 in a third. Like, if you're the Royals, if you just found any way to go 10-3 to open the season, whenever the season started, there's only 60 games, you're probably going to the playoffs, because it would be really hard to screw it up. You'd have to have another really bad stretch, to go with it. But you'd be talking about 47 games if you just went 500 the rest
of
that
time. And are you expanding the playoffs?
Or below 500.
Too. You know, that plays into that.
Oh, and I know. And if they go down to 60 games, they will expand the playoffs because that'll be an easy way to generate revenue for the extra teams who wouldn't necessarily have made it, which means 500 is definitively getting you in. If they extended the playoffs by just, remember when we did it for 12 teams, which they were talking about, Gold, pretty much most teams around that 89-win team over the course of a decade would get in. If you expand it to 14, anybody really around that 85, 84 win over the course of a season. In a 60-game sample, it'd probably be even shrunk down to what you'd be talking about is if you were a 500 team, you'd probably be a playoff team. I think that people will question the legitimacy of teams inside of a certain number. I think that number is 60 or 70. I guess I'm curious what you think. 69306. Would you look at a World Series winner? Would you look at an NBA champ? Any different if there were less games, significantly less games than normal? What about if it's the NFL and we get further down the road? Let's say that it impacts this. Would people question the legitimacy of a Super Bowl champion who only had to play a 10-game regular season? 8-game regular season?
Yeah.
At what point? And that's the way the season used to be, right? It used to have 12 games. So I just wonder how people will view these teams different, you know, in historic terms, considering there might be a lot less games for everybody.
Will it be questioned? Yes. Should it be? No. Like, yeah, of course people are going to question it, no matter the sport. If there is any tweak to the season in a significant way, which is going to be the case at least for baseball and for the NBA and for hockey, we don't know about the NFL, we don't know about college football as well, of course people are going to question it. And I get why some would question it, but my response is, I, first of all, think 50 games is still enough. You know, I've wanted a reduction to, you know, 100 or 120-game season to begin with for Major League Baseball. So by all means, if there's a reduction, if every team's playing 50, every team's playing 80, like, it's not as if the Royals are playing 60 and the Yankees got to play 100. So, yes.
It's not an unfair advantage.
Will it be questioned? Of course it's going to be questioned. But who cares? It's my same philosophy with on the college basketball front. You really think if the Royals somehow on a shortened 50-game season found themselves in the World Series somehow in a year where they had no reason to be there, that in Kansas City or even elsewhere, that we're going to give a damn that people are questioning the Royals World
Individual
Series?
Cities. Who cares? Will not.
Who cares at that
but
point?
Fan bases would really go after that.
I don't care. Like, yeah, Yankee fans would be upset because there's in a normal season, this was the year they were supposed to be one of the favorites to win the World Series. They went out and got Garrett Cole. If you truly are that better team, if it's 50 or 100, you should still come out on top.
Should.
So, yeah.
But it's easier for people to trip. It's easier for you to just trip up because that's where, you know, one thing we didn't talk about that, Gold, is that one major injury would be devastating.
Yeah, you're done for the season. You're done.
Like, the Royals in particular. It's like, you just lost one guy. It's over. And it wouldn't be uncommon for somebody to get, like, dinged up at least a little bit in the middle part of a year, have to miss a couple of starts, but a couple of starts in the course of that would be devastating.
Text line 69306 from the 785. Legitimacy for this year should not be questioned because every team has the same opportunity.
It is extenuating circumstances.
Someone else mentioning the MLB commissioner doesn't even question the validity of the Astros World Series. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the league.
I think we all know the league is never, no matter what the league is, the
but
league will
we
never
as people
correct.
Question the legitimacy of 100%. The Astros World Series.
100%. I think I was listening to, actually, I think it was Ben Maller, who, of course, hosts on Fox Sports Radio, and he was on even with Fesco. He goes on with those guys, Fesco in the morning. And he was mentioning that The Spurs in a shortened season, I think it was the lockout when the Spurs won it, there were other coaches in the league that were even giving the Spurs crap about it for winning that year, but they still won that year. I mean, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to that. People don't bring that up much now, though.
No, and it won't matter. And
I think in a game, like, baseball is a lot better off because of how many games there are. If it ever came to like an 8-game NFL season, oh, people would just never stop giving your team. Unless it was one of the teams you would expect. Like, if the Chiefs won back-to-back, people wouldn't probably be all that critical. They'd be like, well, I mean, that was the best team from last year, so this checks out. But if some sneaky team that didn't really have much of a purpose found a way through, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when people really start to question.
I mean, I'm sure this conversation's different in, let's say, New York City or L.A. with the Dodgers and the Yankees in New York versus us in Kansas City. Because they would what you just described right there, that would maybe be the Royals. That would maybe be them.
Oh, the team that, well, the Royals aren't expected to make the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
Year, or weren't expected, at least, going into a regular length season.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if they found their way in the playoffs this year because everybody jumped up to levels they weren't expecting, yeah, I think that'd be fair. The even better ones would be like the league awards. Like if you were MVP for 60 games.
Do you get a bonus for that? Do you get that if you have that on your contract?
Probably. Or you're the Cy Young Award winner and you pitch 50 games. Or
I'm just like, you know what? He had
eight starts and 2.3 ERA. You're like, oh. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he did, but he only had eight starts.
It doesn't really bug me. Like, that really doesn't bug me. I'm like, hey, you know what?
It would just
feel
weird.
It's a weird year, and things aren't going to be normal. Things aren't normal for anybody, so therefore they're not going to be normal for sports in the way the sports calendar works out. Coming up in about 20 minutes, you'll hear from Andy Reid, Chiefs Red Half Hour. He spoke to the media today. What does he have to say about the offseason so far and how he's handling it? He's working from his basement. He's doing the same thing you and I. I'm sure it's the exact same setup. I'm sure the basement's the exact same. I'm sure everything's the same.
Yeah. Andy Reid surely has an unfinished basement in Waldo. I don't think so. He did say he was still rocking Tommy Bahama shirts, so I can appreciate the idea of elastic waisted pants, T-shirts, hoodies. Not that we dress really nice in radio anyway, but I can appreciate the fact that that Andy's at least following that model. I don't know if we'll give you that cut when we play Andy Reid coming up at 11:30, the fact that he's wearing his Tommy Bahama shirts, but rest assured that Andy is comfortable in his basement.
I mean, let's be real. If I wasn't also doing the show with Cody in the same location, Cody would be just wearing. Well, I think are you?
I'm in athletic.
You
shirts.
Are in athletic, but you. What he do might I just care? Be just. He might just be wearing a white undershirt at this point or something.
Maybe it's a little chilly in the basement at times, so I like the hoodie.
Yeah, we're both still fully clothed in normal attire that we would be wearing at the.
You want to wear track pants tomorrow? Go
Not
for
really.
It, man.
I'm good. I'm good. I'll just keep going with the jeans.
Jeans are fine, too. That's the casual nature of
I'm
that.
Still only wearing flip-flops on Fridays. I haven't been wearing them every day.
I'm in boat shoes today, so I'm following that at least a little bit. Flip-flops tomorrow, though, Serta?
Oh, yeah. Unless it's, raining.
Okay.
Last night, a little bit, I was kind of excited just to see what it would be like. The Checkdown had a Madden tournament, and it was for a great cause. It was for the United Way and their coronavirus relief efforts, and I think we're all behind anybody that's able to help in a positive way. And they had a Madden tournament that had, eight different players around the NFL, and two of them were on the Chiefs. And guess who went head-to-head? Tyreek Hill and Tyron Matthew in a game of Madden. And I think we said a few days ago the odds were out who would win the whole thing. And Tyreek Hill was the favorite to win the entire
favorite.
Big-time favorite. And I think last night we found out maybe why. So Tyreek Hill was the Chicago Bears, which is interesting. I don't know if just keep that in mind. And then Tyron Matthew was the Kansas City Chiefs. They weren't going to both be the Chiefs, by the way. That's boring, by the way. If you play anybody, hey, when you somehow match with someone's the same team, that's happened a few times on the new Madden because everybody wants to be the Chiefs. Well, Tyreek Hill scored 60 on Tyron Matthew in round one of the Madden tournament. It was streamed on Twitch. A little disappointing was the fact that Denzel Ward and Jarvis Landry of the Browns had video up of them, and they were talking to each other. There were some technical difficulties, so we didn't get to see or hear the trash talk between Tyron Matthew and Tyreek Hill. That would have been a lot of fun. That was a little disappointing. But it was a 62-32 win for Tyreek Hill's Bears over Tyron Matthew's Chiefs. And there was some smack talk going on Twitter, though, afterwards. And so at the end of the game...
At the end of the game, Matthew quit!
At the end of the game, so Matthew ends up quitting. And it's because after the game was well in hand, Tariq Cohen was obviously on the Bears, and Tyreek Hill decided to just run backwards and taunt Tyron Matthew while he was up. And so then the game disconnected, and it looks like Tyreek Hill forced essentially Tyron Matthew to quit. Hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. Now, we know they're extremely competitive people, but was Tyron Matthew legit upset? I think the answer at least yes. I'm not saying there's a big issue here, but he was legit.
No, but I think he was upset with Tyreek for showboating at the
end. That's what it was.
His tweet, which he later deleted.
Uh-huh.
Did say, there's some curse words in it, so I can't say the whole thing.
Well, you can.
Yeah, I turned that S off. Uh-huh. That S was lame. You did that last play. Just a video game. That was disrespectful, but I played you multiple times in prison. You ain't never do that. Funny what people do when they get an audience.
It's like, oh.
Now, look, he is accusing him of showboating, and I watched the video.
No,
when it happens. Tyreek Hill definitively was rubbing it in Tyron Matthew's face during that game.
Oh, there was showboating. I will say this. I'm wondering, even though Tyreek Hill had the best odds, what I took from that tweet as well and the performance, he said he's never done that, not just the showboating, but Tyron Matthew later would tweet that he said, normally, Tyreek Hill only scores 12 points on him. Who knows if that's true? But here's the thing. I think he got hustled. That's how I took it. I think he got hustled. As in, Tyreek Hill never played that well. Never, it was holding something back when they were playing before. And now when there was a big audience, that Tyreek Hill let it all out there.
It did look like he was trying to run it up a little bit.
I think he got hustled. This is like if Cody and I were playing.
Like he thought he could hang with Tyreek.
Yeah, like if Cody and I have been playing privately in his own house and it's competitive, or I'm barely beating Cody or he's barely beating me. And then when we go to play everybody, all of a sudden Cody's this amazing Madden player, or vice versa, when it's in front of everybody on Switch or whatever. I think he got hustled a little bit. I think that's why he was upset. I think he got a little hustled.
God, just, I mean, yeah, probably. But come on, man, who among us hasn't rage quit a game of Madden? Okay? Right? Who among us? Cast the first stone, Gold, if you've never rage quit a game of Madden.
Oh, of course I have. Dude, I did it three nights ago. I was playing some guy online. Come on.
Was he beating you up pretty
good? Yes! It was ridiculous. He kept doing the same play. I couldn't stop it. Yeah, of course I've done it.
Like, it just, like, it's just part
We've
of the game.
We've all done it. Back in the day when the internet stuff, you'd actually, you know, on the Xbox, you'd pull out that Ethernet cord a little bit, just a little bit on the back, so it disconnected enough, but it wouldn't give you the loss back when you cared about your record online. Oh,
what?
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
On the original Xbox. When you played, if you barely pulled the Ethernet cord out, it disconnected enough to where it would cancel the game, but you wouldn't get the loss, and then they patched it. Oh, yeah. I've done the quit before. So I have no issue with what Tyron
did. You were going that far to try to care?
I told you. Back in junior high, I was a video game nerd. I had a gaming podcast. I was a complete video game nerd.
In middle school, you had a gaming podcast?
Yeah.
My God, are episodes of that still available? Because, Serta, we should probably be pulling that for material.
That's you guys. That's all you. It's out there.
What was it called?
Just out there.
Just what was it called? Come on. Tell me.
What was it called? Hold on. I had a website, too.
A website?
Yeah, man. Gaming Talk HQ or something? What was it?
Talk HQ?
That was the website, I think. But no.
Do you still own it?
No, I don't. And now it looks like it's a YouTube channel for somebody. Gosh, what was the Xbox show? Xbox Live Radio? Hold on. I'm going to find out real quick. Alex Gold, Xbox Live Radio Show. Hold on.
What year was this?
Oh, man.
I just feel like the name's going to be so...
It's not even pulling up on the search. I'll have to do some digging on it. I honestly forgot the name.
I want to know the name of the show.
I'll find it for you. You give me a little bit of time.
I want to find the name of the show.
Yeah, it was a live show. We had call-ins. These companies would send me product to review. I got, like, Rock Band for free, and I would talk about it on my show, and I get it for free. It was a great gig.
This is way more involved than I thought you were making it sound
like. I told you, I was a complete video game nerd back in the day. And now I can't keep track of anything. I have no idea what's going on in the video game landscape. No,
you sound so
and
old.
I suck. I used to go to those Madden Midnight tournaments when they release it, and I would win these things. Now I'm terrible.
Yeah, like we were competitive, and we played in Miami, and I haven't played Madden in years.
Yeah, I'm not good anymore. I haven't
slipped.
I know it's kind. I think it's actually really disappointing. When I played the other day, I was like, "This sucks." I used to be really good.
Well, you'll get better. I thought Matthew was really mad, and I don't blame him for being mad at Tyreek. But I'm sorry I ever doubted that Tyreek was the favorite. He clearly is going to win the
entire
thing.
I told you he's a baller on Madden.
Yeah, you were right, Serta. He is really good. Tremendously good. He absolutely schooled Matthew in that game last night.
Yeah, it was...
With the Bears.
It was
just disrespectful.
Strong performance.
Do you think he's going to beat someone tonight and just choose, like, the worst team?
He doesn't play with the Chiefs because it genuinely wouldn't be fair. He plays with bad teams to make it more fair.
Yeah. And he still, put up 60-balled Matthew last night.
Yeah, text line says 693-006. Worst is when you get hustled at your own house. You can't even leave. Yeah, you're stuck. You'd be like, Cody, get out of the house. You can't just leave. Someone else also mentioned they used to do things to affect their record as well. See, other people know what I'm talking about. There were some tricks
that
back in the day.
That is some shady stuff you
There
guys
were some
do.
Tricks back in the day. While you're still blowing in your cartridges for your regular Nintendo, we were pulling out Ethernet cords.
Shady.
Things like that were going on back in the day. OJ's finally caught on to Tiger King. He's a little late. We were on this before OJ. OJ comes out with videos a lot, okay?
Way too much.
Like a couple a week, right?
A disturbing amount.
Well, he apparently had watched Tiger King, and, well, here's what he thought about the show.
Listen, I've had so many people on my case asking me to watch some show called Tiger King. Well, yesterday I watched this show, and oh my God, is America in this bad a shape? I watched about 6 episodes of this show, and I couldn't even believe what I was looking at. White people, what's with you and wild animals? Leave them animals alone. The show is crazy. But it's so crazy, you kind of keep watching. One thing I will say, there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that that lady's husband is Tiger Tsushima right now. I'm just saying. Take care, and I hope you find something better to watch.
So, you have OJ telling us about someone murdering their husband.
Yeah, am I looking for him to weigh in on this?
He's wearing a glove in the video, too, which just finishes it off. I mean, if anybody knows, Cody.
Oh, it's him?
It would be him.
Like, if anyone is determined, yeah, it's definitely him. By the way, this is not stopped. Like, OJ's watching it. I saw Patrick Mahomes tweet about the show being wild the other day.
It's the number one show on Netflix still, I think.
Like, it has begun. And then you even have the director talking about, like, major movie casting choices he would make for the show. Although, I usually rely on Serta for this level of movie content. Like, if they actually made a Tiger King movie, right? And they went through the trouble to make a Tiger King movie, and they were casting it. There were a lot of, like, Hollywood people who were, like, joking about wanting to be cast in it. His suggestions were Brad Pitt or David Spade, which are two very opposite ends of the spectrum. One,
I'm sure Joe Dirt is one of his favorite films.
It's gotta be. And he just thinks that Tiger King... Look, if David Spade was good as Joe Dirt, it seems like he could play Joe Exotic. But Brad Pitt is far too good-looking to play Joe Exotic, right? That's not a good choice.
No.
I might actually cast Danny McBride. Ridiculous, has played ridiculous people before, Eastbound and Down, right?
Yeah.
You're just asking him to play a different version of that, but with tigers. He's got the right, he's closer to the correct body shape, I would say, than Brad Pitt is to Joe Exotic. Why would you want either of, I mean, I'm assuming if you're the director, why you'd want Brad Pitt. But that's not the right casting choice, Serta.
No, and I have zero interest in watching a Tiger King feature film. Why? I don't need to know anything else about that story. How many people would like for Brad Pitt to play them in a movie? Get out of here.
Yeah, we don't need a remake. We don't need a feature film out of this. I would agree with that. Doesn't need to happen.
I do want to know what happened to Carol's husband.
I want a second season of Tiger King as we try to figure out if Joe Exotic's still going to be in prison. And if they're now, apparently I saw they're reopening the investigation on Carol Baskin's husband's death.
So that's the only thing. All I want to know is what happened with DeCarol's husband. The rest of it, if there's never another season of that show, I'll live my life happily. I just want to actually know what happened with Carol's husband. It's the same as, like you mentioned, Making a Murderer. I don't care if that dude actually did it. I just want to know who actually did
right,
it.
Right, I will say on that show, season two, it was not this. Season two was not nearly as good as the first season. So that would be the concern of a second season of Tiger King. In a way, if you're them, you probably shouldn't even come out with a second season. It will never live up to what season one was. It'll be extremely disappointing. You'll have such high expectations.
Yeah, it's impossible. There's too many ridiculous people that are going to have to continue to be ridiculous. And some of them, if they're smart, won't show their faces anymore. Like, Jeff Lowe is clearly in enough shady stuff. He should avoid all reaction. Plus, everybody knows that dude on the jet ski is a rat now.
True. Yeah. That is true. You wouldn't have that angle anymore. I saw Eric Stone Street was talking about it. He said he would want to play that guy if there was a show. The guy with the bowl cut, whatever it was. Bullet, whatever it is. Eric Stone Street could play that
guy's
character.
The ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. Not Eric Stone Street, but that dude on the Jets.
I was like, damn, sir.
No, the guy in the actual show that Stone Street would play. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's movies, though. You can't find people that ugly cast into those roles.
Who rocks a bowl cut? And a bowl cut where it's up high in the front and works its way low around the back.
The only other guy who I know rocks it is the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
He's got the Mark Davis cut. That scene, though, where he's on the jet ski at the end, is that shot is fantastic. Obviously, it's been turned into a meme in GIF also on the internet a little bit. So OJ commenting on Tiger King. Pretty much everybody's chimed in now, I feel like.
Yeah, at this rate, if you haven't watched, you've completely missed out on the boat.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Hear from Andy Reid. It's been a little while since we've heard from the head coach of the Super Bowl champs and what he has to say about this offseason. How is he potentially adjusting as well to life working from his basement?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
We're into our Chiefs Red Half Hour. And it's been a little while since we had heard from Big Red, right? Been a little bit. Post-Super Bowl, haven't had a ton of opportunities to hear from him since then, and wondering how are the Chiefs and how is he dealing with the current situation and wondering about the future of the National Football League's 2020 season, and what does he think about Sammy Watkins' future? Well, he spoke to the media earlier today.
I don't have any of the injury stuff to give you on that, but, you know, our heart goes out to everybody that's suffering from this son of a gun. I mean, you know, in our community, I know it's a crazy time right now, so, and all the frontline people that are out there kicking butt working on this thing, we just appreciate everything, so, and I know our players we've checked on them and they're doing okay too. And the coaches are doing good so far. So, we're doing everything, from home and working our social distancing from far away here. So it works out okay. We've been off here, you know, doing this for a couple weeks now. So, it's interesting for old guys like me, learning all this new technology is pretty good. So these young guys, they just whip right through it. But for those old guys, we have to learn everything. But Zoom and the WebEx have been, you know, a good thing. We're able to talk to players, the incoming the guys that are in the draft. We're able to go through and interview them on the WebEx. So that's been beneficial. And and other than that, we've been doing our scheme evaluations. So the defense gets together with Spags, and the offense gets together with DB, and we bang out all this what went on last year and what we'd like to do coming up this next year. So it's been good. We do that daily. So it's and it's worked out okay. Anyways, that's kind of where we're at right now. I'm just going to leave it up to you from here with questions.
Hey, Andy, sorry, Adam. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask how you were approaching this offseason with all the uncertainty. Certainly doesn't look like there's going to be any OTAs, if there's even going to be a season or whether camp's going to start on time. So how are you dealing with all the uncertainty in all this?
Well, like you, I mean, we stay as current as we can through information from the league. We're approaching it like we're having a season. And, I think it's twofold because it can be a real positive energy giver back to the country at a time of maybe need for that. At the same time, we're very sensitive to everything going on. But as far as the off season goes, again, we're out of the office until they let us know that we can get ourselves back in. And so I've got different plans that I've kind of set up for different stages of. And whether it's virtual work or whether they let us back in the building for field work, whatever it is, I've put together plans for that. And then we'll just take it day by day, see what presents itself. So, my main concern right now, obviously, is that everybody stays as safe as they can with this thing going on. So. As healthy as they can.
Do anybody, any of the players or any of the coaches have the virus?
No.
No positive. Just real quick, Andy, because that was one of the things I wanted to follow up with. No positive tests anywhere in the coaching, scouting, all of that as of right now. You got.
Yeah. Everybody's good in that. So far, everybody's okay. Good in that area.
Andy, this is piggybacking a little bit on what Adam just asked, I guess, but how confident are you that you'll have a season and I guess more specifically that it'll start on time?
Yeah, so and listen, I know what you guys know on that, just from what the commissioner said, that, you know, that they're anticipating having a season. And then I think we're all just taking that part day by day, just see where we go with this thing. But like I said, there are two thoughts on this, and you're never going to be right with one or the other. But I think that the league is very sensitive to what's going on. But at the same time, you know, if this can be beneficial to and keep people safe, if it can be beneficial to the country and kind of helping things get going again, I think that's a positive. There's two sides to this.
Coach, on that front as well, the draft, I know, was one of the things there's been conversation about moving it back or keeping it at a certain time. Do you have any feelings? I know a lot of people, you know, football's kind of been the one sport that hasn't really, from a calendar-wise, been interrupted. And is there a feeling whether, like, it's obviously going to be hard for you guys to do a draft and not have everyone in the office? But if everything's equal for every team, is there a sense that, you know, this too would be maybe good for the country to be able to have those 3 days to separate and really lock in and focus on the draft?
Yeah, see, I think it could help that way. I think it could help in a positive way. But again, you know, I know it's a sensitive area because there's two sides to it. There are people that are suffering and dying from it. So the league's very aware of that. But on the other hand, I think it could be a real positive in that it gives a little bit of life back to the country right now. And so I'm sensitive to both sides of that, as I know the league is. And, you know, the challenges for Brett and his crew of general managers throughout the league of being able to put this together under different conditions. And so that's what they're doing. I mean, I know what Brett's doing. And he's working like crazy using all the virtual equipment that he can and watching tape. And obviously the tape's not near as clear as it is in the office. But you power through it and do what you have to do to make sure that you get the evaluations done. And then, you know, wherever we do the draft from, whether we're at home or whether we're in a hotel, you know, wherever it is, you know, you hope that everybody can stay safe and at the same time get this thing done. You know,
Andy, what are the logistics for your draft? Like, where are you going to be? Where's Deitch going to be? Where are the scouts and coaches going to be?
Yeah, so right now we're kind of working through all that. Like, looked at hotels, you know, as a possible option, you know, and put people in different rooms. I mean, there's a variety of things that you can go through and kind of try to look at, but we haven't put a finger down on one thing as of yet.
Andy, how are you guys handling the medical for prospective NFL draft prospects and also for some of the free agencies like that? How are you handling the medicals?
Yeah, well, so the trainers are – Rick's kind of heading that up with the trainers and the medical experts in the league. I believe they're going to do something – they're kind of going through this now. So, but I believe it's going to happen different areas and working with different clinics to get these things down, you know, as they go forward. But I'm not sure anything's been actually, you know, put in writing there. So, but I know Rick has been on conference calls about that recently.
Hey, good morning.
Okay, just wanted to have an opportunity to everybody.
Yeah.
Say it again, please. Let's say it one more time.
we'll have the opportunity to think with Hamilton and Remmers and Amu, and I was wondering if you could just go through those players and just speak to what you feel like you've acquired in them.
Yeah, I told Ted, you know, about the defensive back. I said, other than going to South Carolina State, everything's okay. I mean, you know, we're glad to have him on board. Now, listen, we're excited about all three guys. You know, by the way, Remmer's wife just had a nice baby, so you know, brand new baby here. So it's that's good. We welcome him aboard. He's got good talent. We'll add some senior leadership into that offensive line group. Jordan, I sure liked what I saw on tape and on TV from him. You know, he looks like he's a talented kid. Kind of look forward to getting him on board. And you know, so listen, I think all three guys are will help us and give us good depth. And you know, Remmers obviously has more NFL experience than the other guys, so he'll you know, he'll compete in there for that group.
Andy, with regard to Ta'amu, what did you guys look into him last year when he was coming out?
Brett had looked at him, and you know, he kind of moved around a little bit, so it was a different, a little bit different situation. But Brett had liked him at that time. But I think the kid really, he had more opportunities, I think, here in the in the new league. So you know, we were able to bring him in. And listen, it gives him an opportunity to get in there and compete and see what he can do. And, you know, I think he'll you know, be interesting to watch him perform here.
You kind of touched on how this is affecting the draft, but specifically to players who aren't able to come in for pre-draft visits or even pro-day workouts, how is this affecting players who were not at the combine, or even as you put together a list of priority free agents?
Yeah, Herbie, it's interesting to juggle this because you're doing as much as you possibly can to make it right and to get anyways, that part's a challenge. I mean, it's hard to get that information. That's what Rick is working through right now. So with the league and the different medical staffs around the NFL. So just if they, you know, if it's a kid that's in an area where he can go to a clinic, potentially he could get checked there and then have the information shared around the league, you know, whatever techniques they use to do that. That's a challenge right now. You know? And then as far as the workouts go, well, that's not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to, we had a couple before we were locked out of the facilities, but you're not going to have a chance to get everybody in to do that.
Or Andy, how viable is it to have a guy that can play multiple positions along the offensive line?
Yeah. So listen, We talked about this quite a little bit over the years. I think it's important. I mean, we've seen that we've drafted a lot of tackles, and that we'll go ahead and move those guys around to guard. And then Andy tries to teach most of the guys there how to play center, and in case they need to work in at that spot. But Andy moves those guys all around and gives them an opportunity to play guard, tackle, center, right side or left side. So it's kind of paid off for us. You know, let me add one thing on the players that we were able to bring in the building to work out. Those were local guys. So there wasn't other kids, but we were able to get a couple of the local guys in to work out. Other than that, we haven't been able to go out to workouts because of the situation that we're in. So,
Andy, one question I had is regarding where you guys are right now in terms of the offseason, just how unusual was it to not really be, I guess, active in free agency? And I was wondering if there was any update in terms of negotiating with Chris Jones now that you guys have placed a franchise tag on him.
Yeah, Nate. So, I know, listen, we try to stay in touch as coaches. We try to stay in touch with everybody. So, as far as Brett, he's been doing all the other things behind the scenes with that type of thing, and agents and so on. So, but, you know, they've had communication, which is important in any situation, I think. So, when you're dealing with players and contracts and tags and all those things.
Yeah, and I know, Andy, there's been, I guess, discussion surrounding, you know, Sammy's deal and maybe the possibility of him wanting to restructure it to give you guys more cap flexibility. Is that still an option on the table? Has that been discussed as far as you're aware?
Yeah, so, Nate, that, again, that's Brett. He deals with all that stuff. So, and I try to stay as far away from it as I can, to be honest with you. I dealt with all that when I was in Philadelphia. But Brett's a great communicator. So if they're doing anything there, he's in it and talking about it. So but nothing's happened at this point. I do know that part.
Andy, with regard to Sammy Watkins, is it feasible, given his contract, that he plays for the Chiefs this season under that contract?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes, Adam. I mean, you know, there's a ton of time here. So, but we'll see how all of that works out. And again, right now he's here, right? So I mean that's the positive part, and we sure like Sammy. I mean he's done a great job for us, and he's as good a player as he is. He's even a better person. So we've really enjoyed him being here. So, but other than that, I mean I can't really lead you on either way because Brett that's his area, and I'm honestly not dealing with it, but.
On a teleconference today, speaking to the media about a wide variety of issues, but at the end there, he was asked a couple members of the media around Sammy Watkins, and he kind of just deflected from it and mentioned that Brett Veach is handling all that. He was asked, you know, about are there talks of a restructure? Are you able to have him under his current contract on the team? And so didn't get a whole lot there, but he did say that as coaches that the Chiefs try to stay in touch with everybody, no matter who it is, whether it's, you know, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or Sammy Watkins or Chris Jones and – but it's leaving the communication and the contract discussions, he says, up to Brett Veach there. As far as Andy Reid, he says nobody, the good news, nobody on players, staff, period, have any, you know, nobody's tested positive for the coronavirus. If you're wondering just about how is everybody on the Chiefs roster and organization.
Yeah, we don't know how many have been tested, which is always the follow-up essentially to that question. But, no, that's good. And, you know, like obviously, you know, he's going to joke about the idea that he doesn't get involved in contract stuff because he saw how that went the last time. So you're not going to get updates on Chris Jones or Sammy Watkins the same way you thought. But I think you and I both know that they're not sticking on a $20 million hit for him.
Right.
Nor should they. But, you know, as we go back and look at the roster, and we even saw a report, you know, about Kendall Fuller being happy he landed back with the Redskins on that four-year $40 million deal. This team is very similar to what it was last year. And you know, what I get from Andy Reid in this is that I again continue to think every time they ask him, how are you going to do the draft? Oh, it'll probably be this way. How are physicals being done? Oh, you know, kind of like this. I think when you see all these things shake out, you're like, everything's going to be different. Having a team that at least kind of knows what it's doing feels beneficial. I don't know that it makes a huge difference in January, but if you want to front run a little bit, Andy Reid game plan on a team that knows the way his system operates, I feel like this is sadly one of those years where you could probably be a little less creative in the changes you make to your offense and maybe should be less creative in the way the changes you make to your offense in the early going just because of everything that's happening within that. I did see they're planning on a hotel maybe.
Yeah, a lot of teams are getting creative. You have the Saints who their owner owns a brewery in New Orleans, and so which is obviously closed right now. They are going to do their draft war room from this giant building that is a brewery. So there's some issues with that, I guess. The NFL is a little concerned about the idea of having these small war rooms in other locations even because in some cities that might violate still some of the stay-at-home orders, for example. So all of that is in play. And, you know, Andy Reid mentioned on the call you heard from him there that they've been doing their interview draft prospecting via the web, right? Via apps,
yeah.
FaceTime, like we know everybody's doing, and it is. It's a different, bizarre time. I will say again, and at least we do have the technology to be able to continue having a lot of this stuff still go on. Maybe it's not as convenient, but you still are able to do it. Versus if this was happening in 1995 or something, you know, you couldn't be doing. We wouldn't be doing this show from right now. I can tell you that.
You could go on a date right now. In 95, you couldn't go on a date, but you certainly...
How would I go on a date?
A virtual date, man. I already told you, people are doing it.
In 1995?
No, in 95, you'd just been on that AOL instant messenger.
I was like, we'd be on... Yeah, I'd have my instant messenger account going.
I don't even think that was around in 95. I feel like that was... Maybe.
Late 90s? Mid-90s?
Late 90s, sure. Sure, that's around that time. Yeah. I got my AOL... Hey, by the way, that felt like a date back in the day for me. Get on there and talk to the ladies. It was mostly people I went to school with at that time.
Yeah, no, that's
because
exactly
that was like pre-texting. It was like I didn't have.
It was
a phone
definitely
to text.
People from school. You'd seen them at school, and then at night you would just you'd be on on the internet. You know, you have to still deal with the internet speeds and dial-up.
You realize that we're joking about it. What we're describing is exactly the same as you texting someone you have met online. The only difference is you've seen a photo of them. Texting is the exact same thing as instant messenger. It's just a little more available to you.
Yeah, but AOL I wasn't using as a dating platform. I wasn't using AIM for dating, per se.
Oh, I was definitely talking to girls that I had interest in.
Yeah, but it wasn't for date. Like, this is like people you... This
no,
is
but
matching.
You'd like share, like, you'd share things about yourself to try to get them to be interested in you.
Yeah, but that was people that you went to school with, so you still knew who they were.
Versus like a complete stranger, right?
Yeah. Yeah, let's get to the last minute.
Technology makes it look closer.
Last minute.
The New England Patriots team plane is being used to transport 1.2 million N95 masks from China to the United States. According to the Wall Street Journal, the transfer was a result of multiple global negotiations, and the Massachusetts governor, Charlie Baker, calling on Patriots team president Robert Kraft for his help in acquiring the masks.
It seems like it was a huge effort for everybody involved. A lot of things and hoops to jump through in order to get to this point. Props to the Patriots, 100%. Props to the Patriots. This is fantastic. They were able to utilize their resources that were available. We've seen Stephon Marbury try to help out New York by sending masks back from China as well. We've seen all kinds of athletes. Steph Curry did that video chat last week, I think it was, with Dr. Fauci. It's great to see athletes trying to do their best in all different forms, some financial, some others, or owners try to step up with the resources like a chartered jet or plane that they have and do it for good and bringing those masks back to the Massachusetts area. Yeah, it doesn't directly impact us here in Kansas City or the entire country, but if you have people in their own communities, as we've tried to highlight as well, this is great. Props to the Patriots organization for this.
I mean, it's one of those, like, yeah, if you have the means and the jet and the way to hate people do this, do it, please. Please, more of this. I hate that it comes to that and that we just don't have some of the supplies needed under the circumstances,
right.
but that's a huge win and a really cool gesture by them.
No doubt about that. Coming up in the noon hour, we get to what's trending and the NFL, that Sky Judge, it looks like it may be closer to reality. And, oh, Bill Belichick had a message to everyone about coronavirus.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.